I know that Marvel does it better, and that's it.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, presented by CinemaSins.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, a weekly look at everything going on inside the world of CinemaSins. I'm Aaron Dyster, and I'm joined as always by Jonathan Watkins.
Hello, hello.
And Danae Hughes.
Hashtag team no sleep.
We write for CinemaSins and TV Sins and do various other things inside the CinemaSins universe as well. Hashtag 7 hours of sleep. Get up, go to the bathroom, another hour of sleep.
Man.
That's been my pattern lately.
You know, people say when you have a child, you get no sleep. But mm-hmm. That didn't happen for me. So I started playing video games at night.
It's like, listen, I have to go through a stage of my life where I don't get any sleep. What am I going to do?
I've been told you can survive on very little sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So I might as well give it a try.
Yeah.
And I am.
So what? Like, let's be like legit honest.
Okay.
What's your average nightly sleep been the last week?
4 hours.
I think that's probably true, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I get four hours of sleep, and then I usually get to like have a little bit of a nap in the late afternoon. So I'm getting additional sleep, but I'm not getting that 6 to 8 hours that I used to get. But I think it's actually probably closer to six. If I average it out, it's closer to six. Last night it was four, but that was... I was on a video game high.
Well, no, I just know I look at your Twitch. I look at your Twitch streams, and they're always like 9 hours long. And I'm like, going, how do you have 9 more hours in your day? And the answer is, you don't
sleep.
No.
So the 9 hour stream is twice a month. My evening streams are usually about 3 hours. So let's just make sure that I'm not giving the wrong impression. But I did stream last night, and it was a delight, and I didn't get a lot of sleep. So this is going to be a fun day.
Jonathan, what about your sleep patterns? You haven't,
yeah, Jonathan.
You haven't told us
well,
how you sleep.
I've never been a good sleeper, and so I have a prescription I've had for a long time. So I don't know, like, without it, I don't know what I would do. But with it, I typically sleep like 6 or 7 hours. I rarely sleep all through the night, though. I get up at least one or two times.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
I've always been a restless sleeper. I've never been a really good sleeper. And then I used to take naps, but I've been kind of trying to get out of those. I'm trying not to take those because of medical opinions that have been given to me about various things. So,
yeah. We got to sleep. We got to figure, all of us got to figure it out ourselves, how much sleep we can get and what that means for our health.
There's going to be ramifications for it. I'll keep you updated.
I don't know why it's just like, I mean, I guess that's not weird to say you take a prescription for sleep, is it? I don't think that's weird. I don't know.
Mm. No, I think a lot of people do.
It's very normal.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do. I think that's normal. Let's get into our normal. We'll kick it off with the Sin Side Scoop.
What's he building in there?
I've got a secret. I've got a secret.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
This is a true story.
We're going to take a look at the videos from the week, the process of sending them, how we felt about the stuff we are sending in general. We kick it off in commercial sins. iPhone commercial about privacy on iPhone from Apple. I wrote on this script. This was my very first commercial sins script. So I guess I get to start off the conversation. It was really interesting writing on commercial sins. Danae, you talked about this with your first commercial sin script as well. But writing alone is such a different experience. There's just something strange about nobody's giving me more other sins to add in. I have to really look myself at my errors and those kind of, like, I depend on my partners to call me out on stuff a lot more than I realized, right? And so writing this was interesting. I did it with the mindset knowing Chris would do that, right? Like, Chris, when he gets these scripts, will look them over, fix some stuff if he needs to, and do whatever. But man, what an interesting experience to write on this.
Yeah, I liked to give this one to you because you hate Apple. And I figured you could channel your rage more easily than, I don't know, I just felt like you had like a good grounds to sort of pull from the anger and depth of emotion that comes up sometimes when you sin.
I tried to dial that back a little bit. I didn't want it just to be like a hate on Apple kind of commercial.
I didn't feel that. I had no idea you wrote this. So
yeah, Yeah.
Yeah, if it had been written in the true to Aaron way, we would have known instantly that it was Aaron, because it would have just been this deluge of Google. Like,
I did get a couple jabs in there. You know, you like did. I did get a couple Apple jabs in there, but I think they were appropriate. And they're ones that even I think a lot of the Apple fans in my life agree with, you know, like about it being too pricey and, you know, those kind of things. But anyhow.
Yeah, Google's so cheap.
their last phone was, unfortunately, like their last phone was kind of like dialed back quite a bit and was about half the prices of their previous phones. But anyway,
but it wasn't as good of a phone,
no,
right?
Exactly.
Like quality phone.
Exactly.
Yeah,
correct.
I mean,
yeah, exactly. So anyhow, that's pretty much all I wanted to mention. I did want to talk a little bit about the idea of the ad itself, that it's about privacy, but the privacy they're talking about is just you can tell them who to give your information to. Like you can say, okay, don't give my information to this app or this app. And so the whole time Apple's just like, yeah, but we're completely trustworthy. We're taking all of your information,
don't
but then
look
we'll distribute it to who you tell us to, but just trust us as the distributor. So I just found that interesting and wanted to send that. What are some of your guys' thoughts? Jonathan, what about you?
I mean, I'm an Apple person, I guess. I mean, I've had iPhones for the past, like, my past three or four phones have been iPhones. So we just kind of, as a family, we just decided we were doing iPhones. I don't have a strong opinion, though, either way. And I don't know that I love Apple or anything in the same way I don't really love Google. I mean, they're all big corporations, right?
Right, so, exactly. 100%.
It's just kind of whatever you prefer. So, if your family goes one way, I just find in general that's easier just because there's a way, you know, just everything is kind of being monitored and all that kind of stuff, especially with your kids. But anyways, but as far as the privacy thing goes, this commercial I thought was weird. And like you already pointed out that it's kind of like, you know, being worried about, it felt kind of like being worried about other things, but don't worry about Apple trying to get all this information
right.
from you. Like you already said this, but I'm saying I agree with that.
Yeah.
So I thought that aspect of it, just the goal of it was weird. I've gotten to where, I don't know how much of this I want to admit on a place where people, I don't think anybody's going to like come after me or anything, but or try to like steal my stuff. But I mean, I do try to keep my privacy levels and stuff as good as I can. Like I do private browsing and all that kind of basic stuff. But like, as far as like apps tracking me and stuff, I've kind of gotten to where I'm just not, it is what it is at this point, I feel like. I don't really have like huge concerns about it. I probably should have more than I do.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just kind of feels like it is what it is. I don't know. It feels more tiresome to try to avoid it.
I feel the same way. I in many ways have given up on the idea of privacy in a lot of ways. The reason for that is I feel like it's a no-win situation. I feel like the snowball is already heading down the hill, and I just feel 20 years from now, privacy will be a thing of the past. I believe that. I just believe the way technology will advance, we're all just going to have to deal with our skeletons, because it's just, you know, privacy is going to be an impossible task. So part of me has in many ways given up on that. However, I still try to be as careful as I can, right? And I think you said the same thing. You know, you just try to be as careful as you can and just know that you know, I mean, we carry around a camera and a microphone that a company and our government could have access to at the click of a finger. You know what I mean? Like, it's just anybody can see my life 24 hours a day with the right tools and hear it. So privacy is, you know, I think it's just gone.
And do I care that people know that, like, I just bought a broom and, like, a Ruthless People DVD? Like, do I care? I don't think I do. But I know it's not as simplistic as that.
Right.
I mean, there's obviously other things involved.
Sure.
But yeah, no, I'm with you.
Yep. Yeah. What about the video?
I really liked it. I thought it was really funny. As far as sins, I loved belt aprons. I just thought that was hilarious. I didn't understand that either. So was it, you really need adjustable links for an apron? An apron? I thought that was great. And I just enjoyed the people shuts the refrigerator and there are people behind it in a horror story cliche. Like all of a sudden it became a horror story, which was really funny.
Yeah. Today, what about you?
Those are mine.
The unexpected sin of the stairway trees was one of the ones I really enjoyed. And then whenever they snap and all of the privacy people disappear, and it's like, oh, sure, when Thanos does it, he's a villain. I thought was just a delightful callback to, well, just like a wink and a nod to the evilness of all of it in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as far as my opinion on iPhones goes, the one major thing I miss about the iPhone that I used for a short amount of time is I felt like their keyboard was far superior. There's something about the way that I typed and it worked versus the Android that I just miss and I can't duplicate on an Android. But
interesting.
Yeah. That's one of the main things that I really, really find myself. Mm-hmm. There's certain things. If I could take a little of column A, B, and C, and D, I'd have my perfect phone. And from Apple, what I remember, and it's been a while since I've had an Apple phone, but it was my first, you know, official smartphone because, they invented it.
They did?
I mean, I realized as soon as I said that I've been brainwashed.
What was the first smartphone?
I'd have to look it up.
They perfected it.
Apple has perfected a lot of technological things that already existed. And good for them. Sure. The iPod, you know, was a perfection of the MP3 player. And, you know, the iPhone was a perfection of the smartphone idea. So, yeah.
You could say the same thing about Amazon. I mean, the Kindle was nowhere near the first e-reader.
Sure.
But try to convince people of that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been e-readers since like the 80s, or if not before then.
Yeah. All right, let's move into TV sins for the week. We will kick it off with Rick and Morty, episode 9 of season 5, Forgetting Sarah Rick Mortschel. This is the episode where Rick and Morty break up. So kind of a two-parter of finale that Rick and Morty did, but definitely separate episodes. So we send them separately. Jonathan and Danae wrote on this one. Who wants to start? Danae, you want to talk about this episode and some of your thoughts from behind writing on it?
Yeah. Behind the scenes style stuff for me would be we were getting pretty ahead in our scheduling, you know, and so this one's been done for a while and we had all this stuff planned out for our schedule and sometimes like that'll change. So when we're doing the instances or something, we're like, oh, we've got this one. We could always plug into the schedule if we absolutely had to, but it's been on the books for like a long time from now. And so I've been waiting for this episode to come out because I had a lot of really, you know, I had fun writing on it. I had a fun time like the first time with it because of the shock of how that the pilot ended. Mm-hmm. And then this, of course, the curiosity of, okay, where is this show going? And knowing that I'm not watching it just because I'm so curious, I'll figure it out myself. I'm going to watch it for work. So I thought it was interesting. I was annoyed by it in a lot of ways because, you know, we've got this world where there's a whole bunch of different kinds of superheroes and they apparently are not easy to be found, even though they're jumping and flying off of roofs at a high school. And you've kind of got this idea of, you know, this kid trying to figure out his superpowers and then the confusion of the dad. We know he's a villain. They don't know he's a villain. So the tension is rising. And then there's this mystery that's, you know, trying to be solved. And so I like what they're doing. But for me, my favorite part of this particular episode is the genocide at the end, which is a very weird thing to say.
I am just going to interrupt quickly to say I introduced Rick and Morty and we're talking about Invincible.
Invincible.
No.
Switch it up and talk about Invincible instead?
Yes, we're going to do that now. We're going to switch it up and talk about Invincible.
I'm sorry. I heard Invincible.
No. I actually, until she said genocide, I honestly thought you were talking about Rick and Morty. Not even going to lie.
Oh my God, hold on. Yeah,
I was confused about why you said, because I remember we were kind of behind on this one. So when you said this had been done for a while, I was like, it's been done for that long.
Yeah, right from the beginning, I'm like, wait, something is weird. And then you mentioned doing the pilot. You wanted to see how the pilot continued. And I was like, oh, she's talking about Invincible. Got it. We will get back to Rick and Morty, which was a Jonathan and Danae, and talk about Invincible, which is a Danae and Daniel.
I thought you said Daniel when you introduced it. That's what.
No,
sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
Oh my God! When you that's a D&D script.
It is a D&D. Yeah, it's a D&D. So.
Wow. Oh my gosh!
No,
what
I appreciate all those
craziness.
Thoughts. Did Daniel have thoughts on Invincible as well?
Yeah, he said I like this episode a lot. I thought the story had more momentum than the first episode. We're introduced to a few more characters, and the world expands enough to create more interest in where the whole thing is going. Also, the action scenes were fun, and had a great soundtrack. To me, so much of the character motivations of Invincible and Omni-Man can be learned from the battles they engage in during the episode. From Invincible's flight, or no, fight with Flaxen, with the Flaxens? Yeah, the Flaxens. We can see that his intentions are pretty honorable. He wants to do good and help people. His fight with Alan the alien shows that Invincible is just as concerned with the why of the fight as he is with winning it. This is contrasted with Omni-Man's return at the end, and it's quite obvious that he is much more of an ends justifying the means person than his means usually involved, and his means usually involve destruction and death. I loved that his contrast was conveyed almost entirely through visuals.
Yeah.
Yeah, that end part for me was just, I just kind of sat back and I was stunned by it, and that's what they did with the first episode too. In the very end, they kind of just amp something up and then they end on this, you know, the momentum kind of takes you to the next episode.
Yeah.
Which I just think is really refreshing, even though it's very dark. So,
yeah.
Daniel says the writing with this one, I had a hell of a time writing with that Damien Darkblood bit. I was a little too ambitious trying to rewrite the Darkwing song. I will confess it was my first attempt at song parody, but for better or for worse, probably not my last. The Sin shout out was breakfast until 10:43 a.m. Sin. I somehow completely missed the billboard while I was writing. This was a great catch by Danae, and it's so true. There is always one asshole.
Always. Always. Yeah. If you've ever worked fast food, you know.
Yeah, that kind of blew my mind, that particular billboard.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, so earlier Danae was talking about consequences of not getting a lot of sleep, and one of those apparently is doing Invincible instead of Rick and Morty.
You're going to go show back and zing that now? Or are you talking about being late for breakfast? Because that is what I thought. You're like, oh, one of the consequences of getting too little sleep is that you go to your breakfast place at 10:45 instead of 10:43.
Funny story about that, though. My daughter will do this to me on the weekends. We're like at 10:30 or like 10:40. She'll be like, hey, can we go to get like some like sausage and pancakes from McDonald's? I'm like, if you had asked me like 30 minutes ago. But nope. Look at a clock.
Look at a clock.
There are, we will have later some actual audio of the extended version of the Darkwing Darkside song. So that'll be in keeping tabs. But that was one of my favorite parts of it as well. I really like this show. I remember when it started that there was a lot in me just saying there's been so much of this. I'm kind of tired of the gritty superhero thing. Like, you know, but this is a really well done story. And at the end of the day, if you're going to tell a great story, then it's going to be interesting and it's going to be compelling. So I really, really enjoyed it. The video is hilarious. You guys did a great job on this video. I laughed at a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, I think the shadow did a great job at getting it all
organized. Yeah, no,
together.
Absolutely. If you're going to point out one person who really is responsible for how hilarious this video is, I would go with the shadow as well. I don't remember who that was, but...
Me either. I think his name rhymes with Sonathan.
Yes, that's it. That's it. That's right. That's right. I remember. I forgot Ronathan even worked for us, but yeah. He was incredible on this.
Yeah, I mean, he's on vacation this week, so. It's his third.
Some of the specific sins I really liked. Don't bump her. She is dead, sir.
That's funny.
it's really funny. Her head has been relocated on its axis. It made me laugh really hard. I love the exposition. More exposition. Oh, thank you, Debbie. it was really, really fun. And then the, well, now that a superhero has said a one-liner of sorts, the winning can start. Just a great observation about how those one-liners always have to be there. And then the zoom in on the three screens, and then the sin was also not one of these sources asked for permission to collect cookies. It's just such a great observation of our modern world that I really, really enjoyed that too. What about you, Jonathan?
Yeah, no, I really enjoy License to Kill. I couldn't do that with a straight face. No, I really like this show. I talked about it when we talked about the first episode, but I just, in case somebody doesn't want to go back and listen to that, I'm a huge fan of the comic, and I've really liked this first season. I'm excited to see, you know, what they're going to keep doing with it and what they're going to keep adapting. The video was hilarious. Aaron pointed out a few of the things I had mentioned. I do want to talk about, though, because I was the shadow, and I had nothing to do with why it's good, but I was the shadow. And one thing that was funny to me kind of was that there was this one sin where Daniel had written all these nicknames and he couldn't like figure out what he wanted to write for Adam Eve. Like the one he wrote wasn't really working for him. And then I was like, I'm kind of with you. And I don't know if Danae and I both, I don't want to speak for Danae, but I feel like we had a conversation at the time. We just couldn't think of anything else. It was just kind of like, I don't know. And this went on, like the script was done except for this one sin. And this went on for like a day and a half. Because eventually we brought Aaron in. Because they're like, Aaron can come up with a name really quick. And I think we ended up going with yours. I think Pinky and the Brain or whatever ended up being
Pinky and the Lame, I think was...
Pinky and the Lame, yes. Yeah. But I just thought, it's just funny sometimes, like the one thing you get kind of stuck on. I mean, the Darkwing Duck song, which you're going to talk about later, I'm sure, that also ended up being kind of a... Because that was after the edit, right?
Yeah. And you were kind of like... Yeah, yep.
Which you can talk about that if you want to wait. But so that was interesting about this. But if people don't think we take time on these, we do. It's just usually about really silly stuff, you know.
It's so true.
But we had to come up with a cool nickname, and I think we did. As far as other sins, I love Danae was still letting her frustration out or through the narrator about that baked potato or whatever she was eating when she was watching the pilot. I just liked like the one where he said all clear or whatever, and then he just said clear, and then the scent was, no, you're solid now. You were clear a second ago, silly, because he like appeared.
Silly. Yeah.
That was so funny. And I did want to mention, as someone who has a larger than average shower, that 50% does not always go to waste. I just want to throw that out there.
Okay. All right.
I'm, wait. I was talking about yoga. I was talking about shower yoga. What do you guys?
Yeah.
I was also talking about shower yoga.
Super normal. Uh-huh.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. All right. Let's move into Rick and Morty, season 5, episode 9. This was Forgetting Sarek Marshall. Jonathan and Danae wrote on this one. This was the one where Rick and Morty broke up. Danae, you want to kick us off with some thoughts on Rick and Morty?
Nope.
You should, though. You should. You wrote on it.
No, I shouldn't. No, it's your turn. You go. It's fine.
Okay, Jonathan, since you wrote on this, you can start.
So we did this episode. We just did this like a week or two ago, I guess, because this was one of those that was an Insta send, and it was like we were doing the season, and then they did that thing where they didn't have it on for a couple weeks, right? And then so we had to come back to it. And I don't know. This was a tough one for me. I don't really know specifically why. I don't know if it was just kind of we were rushed a little bit on it or I can't remember why. But I just remember this one was just kind of a tough one. As far as the episode goes, I thought it was okay. It was probably better than a lot of the more recent ones, in my opinion. I enjoyed the Rick and Morty thing. I thought the crows thing was funny, even though it was ridiculous. And we send the hell out of that, mm-hmm. which is great. But that aspect of it was kind of fun. I kind of felt like it kind of got a little generic there towards the end, though. Like, just with, oh, Rick's got trapped by these people and, you know. And then, of course, I guess there was, I don't know if Danae wants to talk about it more than me, but there was the sin that we apparently got wrong. And if I had bothered to read, like, a note... I'm still not convinced that's wrong, though, but everyone else tells me it is, so I guess it is. But it had to do with trash coming out of a portal, and everybody says they think it just went to a secret place. So once Morty actually took on the other side of the portal, he became where all the trash went. It wasn't just like building up in dude's leg, which I guess is fair, but the episode doesn't really explain that, in my opinion. So I don't know. I don't know. We probably should have cut it. That was all me, though, whoever out there was annoyed by that. That was 100% my bad. I loved the callback to Gene, and specifically not only calling back to Gene, but also calling back to the last time we called back to him, and everyone got mad at us and said we were dumb because clearly he didn't die. And I don't know. People took real issue with us saying that Gene was dead. So,
well, people love Gene.
I enjoy that we get to play around with that. And then I also loved Danae catching that what she called a secret gun hidey hole did not make sense because you couldn't see anything. I just thought that was a really cool observation, where because there was nothing under that desk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then that whole thing just popped up. Like, where did that pop up from? Like, you know, I don't know. I just love stuff like that, especially when I miss it and I feel stupid. It's fun. It's fun that somebody else caught it, because that's why we have two writers.
Maybe. It is. It is indeed. Danae, what about you?
Writing on Rick and Morty continues to be a pleasure that I do not enjoy. Wait.
That's a thing. That makes sense.
It's like a...
God, she's talking about The Office now.
God, I hate that show. Thanks for the spiral of emotion. I don't know. Every time I start an episode, I want it to be... I think I'm just wanting it to be something that it's not. And I don't know why I have expectations. And you shouldn't on this show ever have expectations about where it's going to go. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand really... they're splitting up, and I didn't really understand why, and it just seemed forced and strange mm-hmm. to me. So I really wasn't having fun on this episode at all, actually, except for that it made me think about Dark Crystal. So that was cool. some of the sins that I kind of enjoyed like looking at too was like the Candy Kingdom made me think of Adventure Time. And, you know, so there's like these references that I was enjoying thinking, but I was like thinking about other things that I enjoyed more than what I was watching. So mm-hmm. it was a very interesting roller coaster.
Did you have anything from the video you wanted to talk about?
I really liked sitting the call center.
I knew that was you when I read it.
Anytime I can channel my rage of working at a call center, I will enjoy that.
Yeah,
that is one job I've had the option to take in the past, and I've always been like, I know I'll hate it. Like, there's like nothing about that I can imagine enjoying.
Totally agree.
So
totally agree.
I also really enjoy that both Jonathan and I raged against it being called a cookie when it was a wafer. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. And then I liked the sin that he wrote about Rick will be back and there's going to be a reset and none of this actually means anything. This is a Rick and Two Crows of Lies. I just thought that was really smart.
Yes. And more on that in the season finale. More on that then. I also had the cookie wafer sin I thought was really fun. So I wrote that one down. I've always said my favorite Jackie Chan move is the one where the broom comes out of a portal in his hand. Classic Chan. Really thought that was funny. And then the observation, can you imagine the amount of neck problems that would exist if the sneaker TV or whatever became a reality? Then asking, did the Chiropractor Guild sponsor this segment? That one hit close to home because I would have these headaches all the time, really bad headaches. And I was just like, I could never figure out what it was. And it was because I was writing with my laptop on my lap and just looking down mm-hmm. at it. And it stretches out those muscles in a way that they're not intended to stay. And that was causing the headaches. And since I learned that and haven't been doing that, I haven't been getting the headaches. And that's such a cool thing when you actually learn something about your body and it fixes something. Like, that's really awesome. So that's
weird. That's where that came. I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's where that came from for me. Because when I first started doing this job full time, I didn't have my office set up yet, so I was working in the living room or like on the bed. But mm-hmm. I have it on my lap, and I started getting these like just insane neck pains.
Yes.
Like I've never like where I couldn't even move my head by the end of the day, and I finally was like, well, that makes you know. So, but then when I got a desk and I made sure everything was level,
elevated,
you know,
up. Yeah,
they went away.
Yeah.
So, That's totally where that came from. I was just thinking of the idea of something, you know, and we all look down at our phones, which is bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't look down at our phones as much as we do, but writing for like 7 hours, just looking down is not good. Yeah. Don't do it.
Absolutely. So with you. So
unreal.
With you. All right, let's move into music video sins. Lisa, La Lisa is the name of the song. Barrett wrote this one. Who wants to go first talking about Lisa, La Lisa? Maybe I will. I think I will. You know why? Because I really like this song. Like, really like this song. Which is strange for me because it's not like there's any kind of deep theme or message in this song. But, like, the actual song itself is just my kind of pop song. Where it's just really fun and bouncy and repetitive. And I don't know. I just... This song is a groove for me. Like, I really enjoyed it. I also enjoyed the video as well. Barrett, as usual, firing some good stuff. So many sexily staring at the camera in a music video cliches mm-hmm. here that I'm not only pregnant, I just found out it's twins. Amazing. I appreciate the confidence, but giving the execution of this video, I think it's more like you went for a gentle tickle around the midsection as opposed for going for the throat, like the lyrics say. I thought that was perfect as well. It's probably why I love the video or the song so much, is it feels like a gentle tickle around the midsection as opposed to being too aggressive. Tanae, what about you? What are some of your thoughts?
I picked up that there's a scene about her being from BTS, which I know is not our podcast, and then it makes me think of the pop group because I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I figured that was wrong because I know BTS is an all male. So then I realized he was being funny.
There you go.
So then I went to Google and then I was like, oh, this is the Blackpink person, you know, from a pop group. And then I learned that she changed her name because a fortune teller told her that her second name would give her luck. And so she changed her name to Lalisa, which means one who will receive praises in Thai.
Oh, nice.
And that's all I have to say about this video. There is something about watching a music video that has a massive budget and costume changes and just that is so fascinating to watch. Mm-hmm. But this reminded me of last week's video in a way. Although this is a much better song, where there's just so many different things that we're seeing, all these different places that we're going, and I don't understand the cohesion between them. I don't know what story we're telling except for, look at me, I've got money, and I'm going to show you a whole bunch of cool shit to look at. And that's what happened. But I think she's obviously very clearly talented, and I don't know what's going on, but I enjoyed it. Some of the scenes that I liked specifically was about the jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was obsessed with that jacket. And then, so he sends it. And then later on, he sends that we've already seen the back and that you can tell that all of this is just an influence on her music style, which I just started chuckling at. Mm-hmm. And it's not a cheap fashion reference too. And then switches to Old Navy selling faded Guns N' Roses t-shirts. And I was like, oh my God, so good.
It is so good.
And then I really enjoyed, too, the scene about the motorcycle, how she's on the motorcycle riding down an empty highway. And it's like, don't you just love the evenings where you can ride your motorcycle very speedily down a normally busy highway? And then he's like, no, you don't love them because they don't fucking exist in reality.
Yeah.
I love Barrett's delivery. So
good. Jonathan, what about you?
As I've said, and we've talked about Blackpink videos in the past, Lisa is perfect. And there is nothing wrong with her. So that's what I thought. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kind of with Aaron. I didn't enjoy it that much, but it was fun. It's very similar to like Blackpink songs. She's got a lot of personality, and I do like her. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if she continues with the solo and what that becomes. I'm curious enough to keep paying attention, but I don't know that the song really, you know, set my world on fire or anything. But it's fun. And the video, as Barrett points out, and as Danae has already mentioned, the video is just really rote. Like, there's just nothing to it. It's just her doing, you know. So you mentioned the jacket. I was going to talk about that, too, because I really liked it as well. And I know that's Iron Maiden album covers on the front. I think that's probably Kiss album covers on the back, but I don't know as much about Kiss. But I did love that. I love that jacket. That jacket was super cool.
It's so cool.
Yeah, well, and especially because the 80s like metal and hard rock like album covers, especially those Iron Maiden covers, they're just like these works of art. They're so cool looking. So, but I noticed also in past Blackpink videos, they've worn things, especially her, and I think I want to say Jennie, which Jennie gets mentioned in this video, but I can't remember if it was her or not. But there's a couple of them that they wear. Shirts and stuff that reference like hard rock bands and heavy metal bands of that era. So that might actually be like an appeal to them, even if it's not an influence necessarily. I'm not sure. It's kind of like Lady Gaga is like a huge metal fan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's not wearing like metal clothes and like metal shirts and stuff, but I'm just saying, I mean, it is possible, I guess,
sure.
But it definitely, I thought the joke there was really funny. And then I did put down the sexily staring at the camera. The only other one I had that hadn't been mentioned was the where she was against the wall and all those hands were on her.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, hey, hands off the merchandise, assholes. You extras are being paid for the visual effect here, not for a free handful of poppy royalty. Mm-hmm. I thought that was very funny.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff all around.
La Lisa. Sorry.
No, it's good. It's catchy. I like it. Like I said, it's one of those songs I can see myself listening to just because it's so catchy. All right, let's move into Cinema Sins. We're going to take a look at License to Kill, spelled with a C for some reason.
I've got a license to kill.
Chris and Ian.
And you know I'm going straight for your heart.
I don't know if you remember this, Jonathan, but early on, you refused to sing on this podcast. And now you're just
I'll
like,
go back to
no,
that. I'm sorry.
No. I love Jonathan.
Love it so
I love
much.
Singing Jonathan so much. You have no idea.
It's terrible.
So it's wonderful.
That's the classic Gladys Knight.
There you go.
I think minus the pips, I believe. But it's definitely Gladys Knight.
I believe you're correct. Did Chris or Ian have anything to say about license spelled with a C for some reason to kill?
Ian said, it has become apparent that I have managed to piss off whoever is assigning me scripts. And for that, I would like to apologize and humbly beg to not have to sit through any more crappy Bond movies. I have done my time. Having said that, I think I marginally prefer License to Kill. Yes, that's how you spell it. No, Danae stopped spelling it for them. That was L-I-C-E-N-C. Over a view to a kill. That's probably because I'm one of the few people who prefer Timothy Dalton to Roger Moore and Sean Connery. I can hear Jonathan shouting now, but I'm sorry, dude. You were wrong, Ian. He's not shouting. I am. Moore should have been happy with The Saint and left his spy days there. Anyway, this movie is a bizarre mix of drug cartels, sharks, and Bond. Once again, fucking anything that enters his orbit. I feel like any Bond movie pre-Daniel Craig ages like a carton of milk poured over raw egg that's been left out in the sun by a man who has already kept both dairy products in a cupboard for several years. Badly. I'm saying they age badly. From my sins, I really enjoyed this. Has to be the most this workiest example of this worked to have ever this worked in way its way into working. Secret fact, I've actually had that one in the bank since before I was writing scripts, and it felt great to find the right example to use it on, and I stand by it. That missile dodging truck maneuver should have never worked, and I also really enjoyed Jeremy's delivery of the lines, sending the dancer that continues dancing during the bar fight. Mm-hmm. I didn't leave a note on that one. That was all Jeremy. I don't know what's going on, but I have been paid to rotate, and rotate I shall. The other sin I liked was literally every damn thing that Chris wrote. I felt that one just now. I like my script, but without wanting to suck up to the boss, his script absolutely wiped the floor with mine, and I judge him for including any of my stuff over his. I partially enjoyed Jesus Monkey Christ, the Luck Balls, and have since started using it in my day-to-day activities.
Nice. Why don't we go to Jonathan next as our resident Bond expert? Well, what are your thoughts on License to Kill?
I don't know why Ian thinks I'm going to be mad. Look, I don't even know that I have a favorite Bond.
I thought you were going to say, I don't even know Ian.
Oh, yeah, I don't know Ian either. He's just some dude.
I don't know why you think I'm mad.
Hey,
I don't even know the guy.
I don't know if he said that in there, but he did say it's spelled that way, right? I always assumed that was a British
it
thing.
Is.
Was
it the, is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trolling.
And I kind of like it better. I don't know. It's just me, maybe. But no, I like all the Bonds for various reasons. I don't know that I really... Like, I guess I could rank them if I had to, but, like, I mean, Dalton would be in that conversation. I love Dalton, and I've always been sad that he didn't get one or two more films. And he was supposed to. I mean, they were supposed to make another Dalton one, and then just, you know, things didn't go the way they wanted them to, and by the time they figured it out, it was, you know, it was kind of too late. Mm-hmm. And so they brought Brosnan in. Because this was, at that time, this was the longest period we had, I think, between Bond films. It ended up being 6 years after this one until we got another one. I love License to Kill. Like, love the fuck out of it. I don't feel like I'm on his island as much as I used to be. I do think there's a lot more people that do enjoy this. I feel like there's more people through social media and stuff I've discovered that do love this movie. But when it came out, I mean, it was like it was not reviewed well. It didn't make it. It wasn't a bomb, but it definitely was. It didn't make the money they wanted it to make. But it also came out the summer of like Batman and Lethal Weapon 2 and stuff like that. So it didn't really have a huge shot. It got kind of crushed. But yeah, I love this movie. I think it's got a great villain in Robert Davi, and you've got like Benicio del Toro and like Wayne Newton is like his little sidekicks. And that's a lot of fun. I love that we took a send off from Wayne Newton, by the way. He is awesome in this movie. I think that this is, I love Dalton in this film. I think Dalton really, after he did Living Daylights was the first one he did. I thought he really kind of came around and figured out what he wanted to do with Bond with this movie. And I think he just nails it. I think it's one of my favorite Bonds in any of the movies. Mm-hmm. I love the action in this movie. That truck scene is ridiculous, but that's okay because I think it's done well. And I, you know, it's kind of to me like watching a Fast and Furious action scene, right? That I really enjoy. It's very similar to that, where I know this is ridiculous. I know this is stupid. I know this isn't possible, but you're making it look like it could be done, you know? And I agree, something like Mission Impossible is probably doing a better job of that, but I do can still enjoy it. And I love that final sequence. And yeah, I just love this movie. I it's one of my favorite Bond films.
Nice.
Yeah. And I liked the, as far as the other sins, bringing up the idea this could be a Die Hard sequel because you have technically both of the Agent Johnsons, I thought was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the look, deep sixing, fingering. There's only so much my virgin ears can handle. Like the idea that the narrator has virgin ears right. was amazing. Jeremy's dancer voice, whatever that voice was he did for that dancer. So, I haven't got a clue what's going on, but damn it, I'm paid to rotate and rotate I shall.
So good.
It was amazing. And then I also loved the idea about, you know, he kept making the comment about going below on the boat and stuff. And then finally the sin was, in case you were wondering, they went below the deck to start fucking. I thought that was really funny. And then there was an Evie reference from Out of This World. Like, I don't even know where that came from. Mm-hmm. But that was amazing.
Yeah.
I was like, yes. That's... Made me think of my days watching Small Wonder and Out of This World on Saturday afternoons.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a testament to, we get to experience this sometimes to kind of know what our audience experiences, but that is a testament to the power of what I have called those starfish sins or starfish outtakes, where yeah. it's like only one person may get this, but it's going to be so worth it to them. They're going to love it so much. And I think that's valuable. And so, yeah, we get to experience that sometimes as well. I guess I can go next. I haven't gotten to this one yet, so I will get to it eventually. I haven't seen a Dalton Bond movie, ever. I've never seen a Dalton Bond movie, so that is still in my future. As far as the sins go in the video, the one about the leaving their parachutes on and upstaging the bride for whatever reason killed me. Just like, you know, the idea that they're dragging these chutes behind them like it's their, you know, train. You know, it just, it was so yeah. perfect. It's just such a perfect observation. I really enjoyed that. And then, of course, you'd think the British would know how to spell the American word license, but you'd be wrong.
I feel like just, that was so good.
It's oh, such a perfect to way to say it. Like, it's just such a perfect... There's this beautiful thing that we all try to do, and sometimes we get there, where you are actually sinning something, but you're also... Like, there's a satire to it where it's obvious the narrator is just an oblivious jerk about it, and you manage to do both. And this is one of those perfect examples of that. I just really loved it. And then I liked the round of applause that they actually inserted mm-hmm. into the video for Benicio del Toro. I thought that was hilarious. Using this hand gesture to describe your drink order.
that was so weird. Good. What was that?
You know what it reminded me of? Reminded me of a really crass thing that they did at the Whose Line Is It Anyway taping that I went to. So I went to this Whose Line Is It Anyway taping. And they were having one of the people, unbeknownst to them, they said, one of the coolest things to mime is trying to get the last drop out of your beer bottle. And so there's just mm-hmm. just mime that for a little bit. And of course, you know, so she's going, you know, like, and just, and it was just like she had no clue what she was doing.
Oh,
and
no.
So crass. And of course, everybody is dying. But anyhow, Whose Line Is It Anyway? That was a fun time.
So good.
And then finally, Knob Blocker. For whatever reason, mm-hmm. cracked me up quite a bit. Danae, what about you?
You guys mentioned a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
I always like when they point out how long it takes to get from point A to point B. And the Google Maps sort of like,
yeah,
just that was really amazing to me and really well done. And I remember the first few times of kind of Chris's version of, you know, like he likes to kind of break those things down and just how mind boggling it is. And then just trying to apply that whenever I watch a movie. It was amazing. I loved that one a lot. There's this moment when the bad guy is going towards Bond with a knife and he cuts his oxygen line mm-hmm. and the sin is, hey, do you know what kills a man just as effectively as drowning but significantly more quickly and with less chance of escape? Stabbing him in the fucking heart. And yep. I just love that one so much.
So true.
And then the iguana ones, I was just chuckling at that. Like, the director wasn't sure the audience would believe that Sanchez was an asshole, so he gave his pet iguana a diamond necklace just to be certain, which seems really like, wait, does that denote? Yeah, I guess it kind of does. And then it's followed by a that's iguanist joke. I just loved it. I just loved it. It was fun.
Very, very good. Although,
and I do appreciate the notes about, hey, there's not a lot of sharks in this one, so thank you.
Yeah. There are sharks, but not a
nothing time. Nothing like debilitating.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I got ready for this, like, not I watched this one this morning. It was not too long before we recorded, so I was like, oh, I kind of forgot that this happened in this movie, and I was like, I was hoping Danae was all right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I had the exact same experience. I was watching it this morning in prep and sent a note to Danae, like, I'm so sorry, I was just watching this, and you know, hope it, because it did. It felt,
yeah,
because
if I,
it didn't feel too bad. So
no. I mean, and I don't know what's too bad, but I know if I didn't send this one, and if I had sent it, I probably would have immediately sent her, and, you know, hey, by the way, I did not. I forgot about it.
Totally. All right, it is time. We are sinning Zack Snyder's Justice League. What is it? 4.5 hours of it.
What is this movie?
Never heard of this. Never heard of it.
I've been told I did a mini pod on it, but I, you know.
I've been told I did a mini pod.
So, yeah, it's time. And we had to break it up into two parts. So part one happened this week. I'm assuming part two will happen next week. Stay tuned. Who knows? Jeremy and Barrett wrote on this one. Let's get into it. Danae, I'm curious to start with your thoughts on this whole Snyder Cut Justice League. What is your awareness of it? Like, what have you picked up? What has been your experience with the DC world? Okay. Like, all that kind of stuff.
Okay. I know that Marvel does it better, and that's it.
That won't rile up the DC fanboys at all.
That has to be the cold open.
that's right. Yeah.
No, for seriously, I know that there is like this sort of back and forth feeling of like these two franchises that own the superhero properties and which one gets which person, and so then you've got this desire to create like these epic movies that sort of bring everyone together in this Endgame style on one side and the Justice League on the other. Or not Endgame. Well, maybe it is Avengers, and then you've got Justice. So you've got like these franchises that are keep putting together these combinations of superheroes. And as technology has gotten more advanced, you have the addition of CGI, and you can create these really more complex, you know, storylines. And so I think if I'm understanding correctly, Justice League was something that a lot of people were looking forward to because there was going to be more complex characters coming together. And when it came out, there was a lot of disappointment about that. And then there was like a desire to see what the director's cut would have been instead of somebody else's cut. And fandom made that happen. God made that happen. A deal with the devil made that happen. And so we have this really long version of the movie from the director's perspective, which I find fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because as somebody who creates content and understands that you have to leave things on the editing floor, but in this world of people who are willing to watch something longer, they can watch it from their own home if they want to. Podcast listeners who will listen to 4 hours of audio because they just like what they're listening to. There's room for a longer version of something, even if it's a lot of slow-mo, apparently. I don't know. So yeah. I think that what's really cool about it is that we got to see a director go back into the editing room and create what they wanted to create with the video footage that they had captured. I think that's a really interesting reality that we live in right now. Now, whether or not people enjoy it or whatever, you know, I jest about Marvel doing it better. I think people are going to love the content that they love. They're going to love the characters that they love. And I think putting superheroes on the screen in whatever format, especially for the fans, is just always going to be a delight to someone. I'm just not as familiar with these people except for the big, big names. Like, I've been watching Marvel for enough years now that I have an ability to watch a movie like Endgame and kind of keep up. But when I'm over in the DC world, I kind of get a little bit more lost. So me as a person, I'm going to lean more towards Marvel for understanding content. But if I was such a fan and there was a situation where somebody who did a movie released a longer version of something I loved to watch, I'd be so into that. Like Lord of the Rings. I mean, I would watch the fuck out of like an 8-hour Lord of the Rings. Like I would, because it's so, especially if there was content that they never got a chance to get to or a conversation between two characters that I loved in the book that I get to see on screen with actors who are just doing a great job. I just don't know if people think that this is a great job or not. I mean, obviously I watched the Sins video and I don't know that I was interested in what I was watching, but the fans might. So that's all I know.
The you mentioned it being such an interesting experiment. I think that's even elevated by the story behind it. And I don't just mean the fandom part of things, but I mean the fact that this director, Zack Snyder, had to leave the movie because of family tragedy. And so he didn't even get to oversee like any of this stuff.
I didn't know that. So
they brought in Joss Whedon. And Joss Whedon basically took the pieces that he had put together and made a completely different movie than he was thinking he was making. And when he put this together, he cut everything Joss Whedon shot out of the movie and made his, like, there is no remnant of this other director that finished up the movie before. So that is a really interesting thing. I think we've all rightly talked about toxicity in fan culture and how annoying that can be. And there was a lot of toxicity in some of the Snyder fans in the way that they pushed for this. But I still find it, fascinating and compelling, especially because of that part of the story is, his ability to come back and make the movie he wanted to make, even more of the movie he wanted to make with zero studio interfering, just is a really interesting thing. Yeah. Danae, what were some of the sins from the video that you enjoyed?
I cracked up at the scenery. There's a lot of scenery sins and like walking a long distance sins and just things like that were really, really great. But there was this one where, you're kind of flying through the scenery and the sin was, man, whoever piloted this drone through all the CGI deserves a raise.
So good.
It was such a good cut. There was also one where, again, it was like the long kind of traveling, but the horse is kind of going and going and going. And then the sin is the horse stopping because it couldn't walk. It traversed a teetering mountain edge earlier, but needs to abandon the horse here because upcoming terrain was too much for the horse.
Yeah.
I really like pointing those kinds of things out.
Yeah.
And then the, how do you explain the fact that there's only two CinemaSins videos every week? Someone's taking a break about, like, the lead-in was something about there being an evil.
Evil doesn't need to rest or whatever.
It doesn't need to rest. It's like, well, we don't release a video every day of the week. So how do you explain that?
Yeah, someone's taking a break. Yeah, I love that one, too.
It was actually really difficult to... I was enjoying the video a lot and had a lot of chuckles and laughter. And then I would forget to write some things down. So this was a really, really, this is a really fun paced sins video. The hits just, Jeremy and Barrett are, they're in their element right now on this one. And it was a lot of fun.
Totally agree. Totally agree. Jonathan, what are some of your thoughts on the whole Zack Snyder thing and then the sins in this video?
I think I will say one thing about the Marvel thing, because I loved what Danae brought up about that she just knows more about those characters and stuff. I think the one interesting thing to me, I think the most fascinating thing to me about the MCU is that all these characters are household names now. Like the idea that like Rocket Raccoon and like Yellow Jacket and even like Ant-Man and I mean like Obadiah, people know who Obadiah Stane is. Like, I mean, if you told me like 12-year-old me that, and I'm not going to give away my age, many years later... Everyone, like, there's going to be, like, people like, Obadiah Stane's one of my favorite villains in the movies. You know, you'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, I'm over here watching, like, Shaquille O'Neal, like, fly. Like, I don't know what is going on, watching, but anyways, I think DC's getting there. I mean, I think they kind of, They kind of picked themselves up after the Joss Whedon Justice League, because now obviously you have movies like Shazam and the Suicide Squad movies. And, you know, so you do have all these characters are being introduced in a way that's kind of interesting, even if you don't like the movies. But so I think they're getting there. This is fascinating to me the same way it is to Aaron. And I do like to believe that the toxic fans were just the ones that were the loudest. And I think that's a lot of the times that's the case. Yeah. There's so many people that, like, we're friends with on Twitter and that, you know, that are listen to this show and that are fans of CinemaSins that were really excited about this movie. And I know they seem like, I mean, as far as I know, like, those are people with good hearts. Mm-hmm. And they just wanted to see what Snyder did.
Yeah.
Snyder suffered a tragedy. I have no idea what my life would be if what happened to him happened to me.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine. And I think the fact that he was able to get this done, however he got it done, is interesting to me.
Yeah.
It is. Now, I will say, people talk about how this is his version. I mean, maybe. But at the same time, this wouldn't have been the movie in the theater.
Even if
he made it.
Correct, yeah.
This is not, there's no four-hour movie or whatever it is.
Four and a half.
You know, going to, so. Yeah. So I think this kind of all just kind of, it was just a melding of things that just happened to happen. You know, HBO Max is coming out. It needs something that, you know, and it's just kind of, it was that perfect, perfect in the storm. Oh, I don't, what do they say? Port in the storm?
Perfect storm.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But it was a perfect storm. It was a, you know, it was just a massive events that kind of worked together. That all being said, I didn't really like the movie. I think it's probably better than the Whedon one, but I have a lot of the same problems. I just don't find the story that interesting. And I do like some of the performances. I don't think that the characters are treated as well as they are. Adapted as well as they are. And they're the ones like Wonder Woman and like Aquaman specifically. I don't think they're adapted as well as they are in their solo films. I don't know about Flash yet. But it's, you know, I'm glad fans have this, you know, I think that's really cool in some ways that, you know, this can happen. I don't think we need to do this to everything. You know, as much as I would love some crazy cuts of some films, but I don't know. It's fascinating. The video is great. I can't wait to see part two. I have not seen part two. Are we even allowed to say that? I mean, I guess it says it's part one. Right?
So yeah.
Okay, cool. So I'm excited about part two cause I did not write on these. And, that sounded really weird.
No,
I hate moons that I wrote on. But no, I'm just saying, like, I don't know what's going to happen in part two, I guess is what I'm saying. I don't know what they're going to say. Previously in an even worse movie, only this time it's slower. I really enjoyed that scene. Come and witness the excitement of an entire heist scene via briefcase cam.
Yeah.
I also just love the observation of couldn't they have just landed the ship on the ground? Because, you know, he ends up jumping like 30 feet or something off of the ship. And it's like, why wouldn't you just land the ship?
Yep.
And then who needs an actual CGI budget when you've got an underwater battle? That cracked me up.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reasons.
I love this video. It's so funny. Not that that should be a surprise. Jeremy and Barrett are absolutely killing it here. Like you, Jonathan, I didn't love the movie. I do think it's better than the Whedon version. I mean, that movie, there was no possible way that movie was going to be good. Like, it just had way too much going against it. And this one at least feels coherent. I feel like I understand the story here. But man, is it bloated. And I feel like that's, I get it, but that does have an effect. For me, and I think the video sends it well about the bloatation of the film. I loved the alliterative. The sweet sweater is sweltering with sweat and seawater, so see what the problem is here. Very well done, whoever did that. I love when what's the robot guy, Cyborg, right? The Cyborg character is trying to fly and was like, cough, Iron Man, cough, sneeze.
Yeah.
It's like some sort of cough, sneeze on the end of that for some reason that made me laugh. And then the one where the narrator prepared us for his laughter, just another way to write us in that I hadn't heard before, but where he's like, sorry, give me a moment. I just need to laugh a bit. Hang on. I promise it won't be long. And then he just laughs. So funny. So very, very funny. Great video overall. Loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. All right, let's move into keeping tabs.
Hey, podcast peeps. It's me again. Those are my dogs. Those are my... every time I talk... Wow. Aaron feels when we're... Okay. We're going to try this. Okay. I just wanted to tell you about the survey again, which is at cinemasense.com/BTS. So, go fill it out.
The internet is a communications tool used the world over where people can come together to bitch about movies and share pornography with one another.
Ha ha! Oh, jeez.
This is the most public yet of my many humiliations.
We're each going to talk about the process of putting this stuff together and writing it, maybe some research we did, some other things amongst the sins that we wrote. Jonathan, why don't you go first? What's your keeping tabs this week?
I don't have anything. I should have said that before we started recording. I kind of forgot. I only wrote on Rick and Morty and, you know, did that amazing shadow job.
Yes, your shadowing on Rick and Morty was spectacular. Spectacular.
Invincible. Now you're getting confused. No, I only wrote on Rick and Morty. And I mean, I didn't look up like if crows could shoot guns or anything. So
you didn't have to look that one up. Listen, this is how we make mistakes. If you don't look up if a crow can shoot a gun, you never know. There's probably a video on YouTube somewhere.
Let's use this keeping tags to explain that I should have done research on portals.
Yeah, trash legs. And yes, you should have done trash legs. Some trash leg and research.
And I should have read all of Danae's notes. So
that's always a good idea. Always a good idea.
Yeah, it was. It is. We were rushing though. It was one of those crazy. Mm-hmm. Crazy situations, and hopefully it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, and you never know what's going on behind the scenes too. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of stuff going on in our lives, mm-hmm. and different things that
reasons that
stuff gets missed. We
are
were
people
human
too.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. Danae, what about you?
Well, that reminded me of I looked up during my outtakes. I got to rewatch Adventure Time clips to try to find something that kind of felt right for the Rick and Morty start.
So good.
And yeah, I really like what I found, and I liked, you know, being able to send Dark Crystal and things like, or do the outtakes with Dark Crystal and stuff. But I forgot how much I loved that show, and I want to go back and watch it so badly. So it just reminded me of that. But the I did a little bit of research. I was trying to kind of find my favorite / best angle for the billboard with the times for breakfast.
Right. The 10:43 a.m. or whatever. Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, well, let's just see, like, what's the average drive-through breakfast hours?
Mm.
Which didn't really yield anything interesting, but I did end up on a website that kind of did a study of the average wait time at drive-thrus.
Mm.
Which,
oh, that's interesting.
Any guesses on how, like,
the average, like, if you pull into a drive-thru, what is the average wait time for one car?
I mean,
I'm in America.
Okay. Always.
In America, I could do a lot of drive-thru. I would guess like 7 minutes.
I'm going to guess lower than 7 minutes. I'm going to say 4.5.
It's 5.94 minutes. So it's 356.8 seconds.
Yeah.
Which I also go through a lot of drive-thrus. That feels right to me.
It does.
And then I have theories on that actually not being accurate, because I go to several places where they pad their times.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. So the reporting may be underreporting.
They're underreporting. I'm guessing that the average wait time is more like the 7 minute mark. Like I'm with Jonathan. I think it's longer that you are there, which is still not that long at all. But I go to multiple where they do this game where they stop you before the dinger at the speaker. Mm-hmm. And take your order, and then you go up to the window and you've got your food a lot faster. And so they're just clicking they're clicking those buttons, and the computer's not tracking it. Or they do the other game where you order at the speaker, and then when you get to the window, they clear you out and send you to go wait in the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
So you're sitting there for 15 minutes waiting for your food.
Yeah.
And that's and so I think that that's not accurate. But you know what? I am not a fast food detective.
No,
yet.
But literally.
Oh God, what if that was a thing?
It's got to be a thing. It has to be a thing.
I'm sure it is. Literally was at Taco Bell the other day. and there was nobody in line, yet they had somebody before the menu, right?
Nobody in line.
Nobody in line. Like, I understand when there's a bunch of people in line, getting a couple people out there to get orders ahead so you can be ready.
Sure.
Totally get that.
For
but when
sure.
there's nobody in line, I don't understand. So get up to the person who's ahead of the you know, talkie machine order place, menu place, and he has like a little flip menu, and it's like you can barely see it. I was like, hey, can we just pull up to the actual menu so I can see what to order? And he said, no. There's nobody in front of me, but he said, no, because once you're there, you trigger something. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? Like, I just want to see what food I want to order. And you're telling me I can't go up there because it triggers something? Mm-hmm. And so, Danae, I think that's what you're talking about. I think it triggers their, like, you know, wait time machine or whatever. And it was the weirdest thing. Nobody is in front of me in line, and he won't let me pull up to the menu. And I was just like, this is horrible customer service, if nothing else. But congratulations on your slow wait times. You know.
Yeah, I noticed this with McDonald's here. I don't know if this is doing it with you guys, but they're really pushing the mobile app because, like, every time I pull up to the drive-thru now, that's the first question I get. Did you order on the mobile app? Like, no, I'm at the drive-thru. Why? You know, that confused me for a while, but I guess that's where people pick up their mobile orders too. So that's another thing that's being really pushed. It's like, and I'm sure that's because they think that'll, you know, if they can get more people to do that, the food will already be ready and then they can just pull through.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the mobile apps are great. I mean, that should be the future.
Yeah, yeah.
People should be like, you know, I have a couple restaurants, and Taco Bell is usually one of them, where I use the mobile app, and it's much quicker for everybody. Mm-hmm. But so, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that they're pushing for that. But yeah,
Chick-fil-A
totally.
For sure. If you if we ever go to Chick-fil-A, we always use a mobile app because that line's insane.
Yep. Yeah, totally. Interesting, fun stuff. I will say, before I get into the Damien Darkblood theme song, which I had teased and promised, that the only thing I wrote on was the commercial sin this week, and the rideshare sin about I don't like, you know, don't need to hear my entire life story, Howard, or whatever the sin was there, came from a very real place. I've used rideshare in Nashville many, many times, and it's always in Nashville where I get the weird rideshare drivers that just want to I got one that just wanted to talk the entire time and just tell me all about, like, he was telling me about traumatic events that happened in his family. And I'm just like, dude, you're taking me from point A to point B. Like, we're not like close friends. Another one in Nashville played like really seductive R&B music the entire time. It's just like, it's like, I don't know if you're not paying attention or if you just don't care, or maybe or you do this because occasionally you get a hookup out of it. I have no idea what's going on. But you know,
maybe he liked you.
It was a she. Like, hey. It was a she.
Maybe she liked you.
But yeah, that one was wild. And then there was one, it was early morning. I had to get to the airport, and I got in the vehicle, and the heaviest smell of marijuana I have ever smelled in a vehicle. Like, he had to be smoking in that vehicle within the last 5 minutes. Like, it was just that
Welcome
heavy.
Welcome to Nashville, man.
And I was like, look, I mean, do what you do, but like, when you're driving me somewhere, you know, like, it's just like one of those things where maybe, you know, if you need your morning get going toke or whatever, like, do that outside the vehicle. I don't know. But anyhow, rideshare drivers, you know, came from a real place, for sure.
You know, Aaron, Southern hospitality is a very generic term, and it means different things to different people. And you apparently are experiencing a wide range.
Wide range of what Southern hospitality means, for sure.
So yeah. I mean, we're a fun city, man. Come join us.
So yes, Jonathan mentioned it earlier, the Damien Darkblood song. After the edit had already gone through, I think I was the one that brought it up, actually, because I wanted to hear how that came out. And it just wasn't quite working for me. So I actually put together the song with music and everything. And then I think we all kind of realized that we actually wanted to tone it down, not bring it out further. And so we kind of cut it to what you hear in the video, which I think is perfect. I think we made the right decision. I think that's what works. But I promised Daniel that we would play the original full Damien Darkblood on BTS. So
I haven't heard this.
If you guys are up for it, I will say, while I get this loaded up, that the process for this was I just read his lyrics, listened to the song, and then without the music, just imitated the song. And then afterwards went back and was like, well, maybe we can put music to it, and then put music to it. So thank you for your patience with a little bit of off keyness occasionally. But yeah, I did want to play this for you because I told him that I would do that. All right, here is the actual song with the music behind it and all the lyrics that Daniel had written for it originally. So here you go. Damien Darkblood, Darkwing Duck parody song.
Daring demon of mystery, champion of the night, peers out of the shadows, Darkblood owns the night. Somewhere some villain schemes, but his number's up.
3, 2, 1.
Damien Darkblood, when there's trouble you call the double D. Damien Darkblood,
let's get dangerous.
Damien Darkblood, Darkblood, Damien Darkblood.
real quick, if you're ever a rideshare driver, you should have that song playing whenever somebody gets in. It'd be like that Chris Kattan sketch on SNL where whenever he has women over, he plays himself singing Journey covers on the stereo.
Yes.
It'd be amazing.
Yes, yes.
Yep. It's a lot of effort to go into a sin that we didn't actually use all of, but it's part of the creative process. You know,
I feel like Aaron had fun.
You see things on frame. We're talking about cuts. You see things and you're like, what is it doing to the pacing? And are people going to know what we're doing here? And I was the lead on this one. And I was like, it is so hard for me to make a call. Jonathan, you talk about like this one took a long time to massage. Mm-hmm. Then you added on the song to it. And this script took a week to really like work out because everyone was just trying to do their very best. And I love you guys. It was a lot of fun. I do think we made the right call.
I do too.
No, I think we were all okay. Too. I don't know what the editors liked about any. I don't know if the editors were happy, but we were all good.
Yeah.
But they did a great job.
They did. So they did.
Hopefully they weren't too mad at us.
Hopefully not. All right, let's move into the comments section.
I want to know what you're thinking.
I appreciate your honesty. You're a real straight shooter.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
We're each going to talk about some comments from the week. I'll kick us off. I loved the ricotta cheese wars that happened with the lasagna sin. I even forget which video this was, but there was the sin about a lasagna must not contain ricotta cheese. I don't know if you remember
this.
Was
that this week?
Yeah. I'm sure of it. Yeah, because I just did this prep. Now I feel bad for not remembering the video. Which video had the lasagna sin in it? Maybe somebody can help us out. But anyhow,
I don't think that was this week. I really don't think that was this week.
The comments here. Okay. I'll look it up. Make sure.
I could be wrong.
No. I need to make sure because if it's not, then
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it was in the Invincible, the second episode of Invincible.
Okay, I'm wrong.
No. You're good.
Oh yeah, there was a lasagna sin about. It's the morning lasagna, right? It's that everybody. Yep.
And so the narrator was very insistent that there should be no ricotta cheese in lasagna. And the comments, if you go through the comments, are just people like, thank you. I will die on this hill. There should not be ricotta. And then the next comment is like, how do you do lasagna without ricotta cheese?
Yeah.
And
it's
like, that was probably my wife. I
didn't know this was a war. I didn't know the ricotta cheese wars existed, and now I do. And it made me so happy to see that in the comments. And then I had to mention our Discord because they were chiming in on the commercial sins yesterday to tell me how I messed some things up. And one of them was the adjustable aprons, and they were like, "That's tall privilege talking because us short people have to have adjustable aprons, or we're only protecting our groin and under." So I was like, okay, fair enough. And then somebody said about the window sin. You remember the window sin where the window was like halfway down? And I think the sin was, this again was in commercial sins where like, we don't go for that halfway nonsense, either, have it rolled up or all the way down. They sit on a lot of modern cars. The back windows only roll halfway down. I didn't know that.
It's a,
I didn't know
it's
that.
A kid-proof thing. Yeah, they, and you can't change it. Yeah, so, it's yeah. I've had a car in, like that before.
That's in still but stands because the window was only down, so we could see his face. But I would have written it differently if I had realized some cars only go halfway down. But yeah, so I wanted to mention those as well. Jonathan, what about you?
I had this is for something from last week because we talked about, well, I mean, the comment was this week, but it was based on our episode last week because we talked about Monsters at Work. And I made a comment on that this felt a little more like within the universe, and it just felt a little more like, I compared it to where the Disney Channel would release these like TV shows, whatever animated movie they had out that year, all of a sudden they would have this TV show. Like they would have like The Lion King, the show, or Tarzan, the show. And I think the one I mentioned was Tangled. And I got at Dubs 13207 on Twitter, who by the way has one of the most beautiful pictures of him and his daughter as his avatar. He said, to me, he directly sent me a tweet and said, I need to go to bat for Tangled, the series. It's good. Original actors mostly, and the stories are pretty good. My daughter loves it, and the other media, it has spawned books, comics, maybe more. And the theme song is great. Laugh out loud. Other Disney shows, hit and miss. And I wanted to point that out because what I should say is I was just mentioning something offhand. Mm-hmm. I have to admit, though, that was the wrong one to say because I, too, watched Tangled with my daughter when it came out. And she, my daughter, I don't know if she still is, but she would always say if somebody asked her who her favorite Disney princess was or character, she would say Rapunzel. She used to say she wanted to grow her hair out as long as Rapunzel. She has cut it a little bit since then. But now that she realized, now that she's gotten older, she's like, no, that'd be too long. I don't want to have to wash that all the time and stuff. But no, I did watch that some with her, and that actually was a pretty cool offshoot of the movie, which is actually a pretty good movie too that nobody really seems to talk about anymore, even though it was a huge hit. I should have said something different than that. I probably should have gone with like Lilo and Stitch or Tarzan. Although now people are going to tweet me about those.
Every show has its fans.
Exactly. But I do agree on this. So I thought I would bring that up. And also he's a fun follow on Twitter. So check him out. That's at DUBS.
Nice.
13207.
Today?
I was enjoying, although sometimes the comment section is difficult for Rick and Morty, Mr. Sharp for this week's one said, wow, two Adventure Time references? I have respect. And then someone else says, Nine Nicole says, two sound clips from Adventure Time's later season in one video? Maybe there's hope for more episodes about that show? Like, people are now beginning to think that we're trying to hint at something, which of course we are.
Always.
Not.
Everything's always a hint and never a hint.
Exactly.
Both.
Yeah. Yes.
We had fun with Adventure Time, though. So, sure. I mean, I'm not opposed by any means, but I don't, you know, we don't have anything planned currently, I wouldn't say.
My other favorite one was from Jello Man, who says, isn't having a clear pee actually bad for your health?
No.
We just have so much work to do, people. We have so much work to do.
No.
I mean, because I guess technically anything could be something that's not good, but yeah, I've never heard that being something.
No, it is a sign that you're drinking enough water, the clearer your pee is. So, yeah. Let's move into Beyond the Sins.
To infinity and beyond.
Somewhere beyond my wild history.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
We're going to chat about something else from the world pop culture, a world of pop culture that we've seen recently. Today, why don't you kick us off?
What are we doing now? I'm sorry.
Beyond the Sins. Somewhere beyond your wildest dreams, Danae.
I don't know.
Wildest dreams.
Sure. Yeah. I can talk about something really cool, like the fact that Steam has old school computer games available, and there's one called Freddy the Fish. This is something that I played with my mom. I don't know how old I was, but I played this game with my mom. My brother and I played this game, and you know, it's just a simple click around the screen and find clues, and you know, it's solving a mystery. And I was wanting to find a video game that Iris could play with me, and I went to a Reddit thread, good Steam games for four-year-olds, and somebody mentioned the Freddy the Fish game, and I went and looked at it, and holy shit, yeah. There's a company that makes, I think it's called, oh gosh, hold on, let me look it up real fast. It's Freddy Fish and the Case of the Missing Kelp Seed is the game itself that I was looking at. And it's literally just a click around the screen. So it's an old school computer game, old school animation, where like when you hover over something on the screen, the mouse changes so that you know it's a clue and you can click it. And sometimes you'll click something on the screen and it'll make like a little bubble appear, or a funny little fish will pop out from around the corner and do a dance. And it's a delight for her. She's like laughs at everything, and the mystery is really fun. So you'll click on one thing. Yeah, if you want to get this, you'll have to get to the bone, go to the boneyard. And then we have to click through the map and go back to the boneyard. And it's just kind of helping her understand clues and where things are on a map. And she's kind of choosing her own adventure in a way. It's difficult to let her be in charge because she doesn't know how to solve this game. But that's okay. You know, we had to go to that boneyard a lot.
So many times.
Kept forgetting to pick up the clue, you know, that was right there that I kept telling her about. But this is her learning how to just use a mouse and process, think, and have fun. And it's a safe, very, very safe game. I think, I'm so sorry. I want to find the company that makes it. And sure, I thought that I could just click on it. But well,
while you're doing that, I will just say that I think these nostalgic games that we have, computer games from like our past, it's really interesting that through emulators or Steam or whatever the case may be, that some of these still live. And I think it's a testament to the fact that you can have fun without high tech. Like, it doesn't have to be huge graphics, whatever. It can just be point and click around a screen, and you remember how fun that was. And I remember like text-based adventure games, playing those, and those are available now in different places. So yeah, like Space Quest.
What was the one? What was the one that started with like a Z? It was like Zork or something.
I don't remember that one. But yeah,
it was like a early role playing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So this is.
It was called Zork.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Zork. Yep, it's from the late 70s. It looks like is when the first one came out.
I just remember the Space Quest games were always really fun, and you know, been looking for those on different places.
So the company that makes this game is called Humongous Entertainment. That's why I wanted to make sure I said it out loud, because it's just silliness. So if you have a young one and you have Steam, just look up Humongous Entertainment. They have a whole series of games. The one that I'm playing again is Freddy Fish and the Case of the Missing Kelp Seeds. There is one moment when you get towards the end when you meet a fish who sings a song about the word arg. Arg! And I actually knew all the lyrics in the back of my mind somewhere. And so I'm sitting on my computer chair with my four-year-old, swaying back and forth, singing this song that I used to sing when I was a kid. And it was really cool.
Oh, that's so fun. That's awesome. Yeah. I'll go next. Survivor's back. I wanted to talk about that a little bit. The season two-hour season premiere of Survivor aired this past week as we're recording this. It was all for the pandemic, first time in 20 years that there wasn't a season of Survivor over the course of the year. And I missed it, like really, really missed it. I didn't realize how much I missed it until I watched the premiere for the new season. I just love this show so much. And I've been trying to put my finger on what it is aside from the obvious, aside from the human element of how people play the game, you know, what are, how can people be... develop friendships and also be manipulative and like all this kind of stuff that you deal with in the Survivor game itself. I think it's the production of this show, because this is a reality show that even though it has, I mean, it kind of invented a lot of the reality competition tropes that we're used to, that and Big Brother both started 20 years ago. But aside from those, like this show is really shot well. It always has been. It's gorgeous. The way they play with the characters and develop the cast into characters through editing, through the choices they make. There's a character this year who was talking about, she's a pastor, and she was talking about, okay, when I have to do things that are a little bit shady and I'm on the island, I'm becoming a different person and I'm humming my own evil theme song. And she starts in her interview humming, so she's humming this in the interview, and in the background, the music kind of starts to come behind her, and they have this whole orchestration that starts. And so then anytime she's being evil in the show, she has her own theme. Like, it's like just the idea of like turning these things into like fun production. Like, the show has always been so good at that kind of stuff. And it just knows how to tell a story. I also think Probst is one of the best, you know, reality show hosts to ever exist. He has an understanding of how to talk to the cast in a way that is interesting for the audience and also gets stuff out of them. And the show's ability to adapt. You don't follow the show, last season was their big 40th season Winners at War, and they only brought back Survivor winners. So everybody who played the show last season had won a previous season of Survivor, which was really fun and interesting. But they saw it kind of as this cap on Survivor Stage 1. And so season 41, they're no longer doing, like, it used to be Survivor Africa, Survivor wherever they were at. Now they're going numbers. So this is Survivor 41. The next one will be Survivor 42, because they're all pretty much taking place in Fiji now. That's kind of their main production hub. And you can tell they're kind of handling it different. They're showing a little more behind the scenes during the show. Like, they pan out during the opening, stranding that they usually do in the seasons. And you can see the entire production crew that is on that boat with them. And then an entire like production boat that's beside them. There's like 50 people on that ship. And so it's like, it's interesting for them to kind of adapt and evolve and just go, hey, this is a little more fun for the audience to kind of break that fourth wall a little bit, show them how we do what we do, and to do it so smoothly. I just love this show and the way it takes chances and the way it produces stuff. So all 40 seasons plus season 41, the next day, are on Paramount Plus. So if you've ever been interested in Survivor, it's all there for you to get into. There are plenty of articles that can tell you what are some great seasons to start with if you want. I'm a chronological person. If it were me, I'd just go back and watch them in order. But man, what a great show. And I'm just really glad it's back. So I thought I'd bring that up for my Beyond the Sins.
Yeah, you do. You are a Survivor fan.
I really am, man.
That's interesting. I wonder, I'm curious, I mean, this is definitely not a negative. I'm curious if they're doing this where they're kind of more stationing themselves in a more constant environment. I mean, because I'm sure they'll still be able to change up things and they'll move around different parts of islands and stuff like that. But this way, I mean, they're cutting back, like, they don't have to go scope out a place. And
right, yes.
You know, I mean, I just think from a financial standpoint, the way TV is so different now and, you know, all those things. I mean, and I'm sure Probst is making bank. So, I mean, there's just probably financial aspects to it where that makes more sense. I mean, I'm kind of, and I can't even believe they were, because they did repeat places, though, right?
Or they did. They called them, when they would do like themes, so like Winners at War was a theme, or Heroes versus Villains, or that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
They would name them for the theme. As opposed to the place, but yeah,
gotcha,
yeah, totally.
Yeah, because that's got to be tough, like finding a different place every year and figuring, especially after 40 seasons.
Well, pandemic.
Park your ass in Fiji.
Yeah,
that makes sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or wherever.
Yep, it's exciting, and also they took it from 39 days to 26, and they're amping up the survival element of it. They're not giving them any rice. Usually on Survivor, they give them like rice and some, you know, some different food and that kind of stuff. And so they're making them start their own fires this year. Like, they would usually give them flint. Actually, they can win flint at different challenges, that kind of stuff. But they're kind of just mixing it up a little bit, and I'm really enjoying it.
So you don't get fire, because I always remember, like, the first, you would get fire at the first
correct,
at the first, what do they call
challenge,
the elimination because everybody has the torches at the end.
Oh, the tribal council.
Tribal council. You would get fire by then if you didn't have it already,
right?
But I mean, that's like, I don't know, 3 or 4 days and, you know, into it, so that'd be a long time. But I don't know, it's been a long time since I've watched it. You've got me interested, though.
I like what they're doing. What about you, Jonathan?
Cool. Well, I have a show too. It's only 2 episodes in, so I mean, it could go a lot of places, but it's just one of the only things that's newer that I've really been watching. It is called The Lost Symbol. It is on Peacock. It started 2 weeks ago. I think originally it was going to be on a network, and then I think at some point they were just like, it makes more sense just to put it on Peacock. So The Lost Symbol is the name of the third novel Dan Brown wrote in the Robert Langdon series. And if Robert Langdon is not immediately ringing a bell. If you've that would be like Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons and Inferno are the three movies that were adapted from three of the novels with Tom Hanks. And I think Ron Howard at least directed the first two. I don't know if he directed Inferno, but which doesn't matter. You don't need to watch Inferno. Avoid that. Avoid that movie like the plague. But anyways, I'm a fan of the for the most part, I'm a fan of the books. I mean, it's interesting. I enjoyed Da Vinci Code when it came out. I enjoyed Angels and Demons. This was actually this had to be the third because they skipped this one in the movies. Like they didn't do this one. They did Da Vinci Code, then they went back and did Angels and Demons, which was actually the first one. Although I think in the movies they made it a sequel. And then they decided to skip Lost Symbol and they did Inferno. And there's probably the main reason is that Lost Symbol is not the best book in the series. It's probably the worst book in the series, although Inferno is not very good either. But so that was interesting to me. But so they decided to make a TV show about Robert Langdon. And so at least this first season they're doing, if there's more seasons, I don't know what they're going to do. But this first season they're adapting the Lost Symbol. And like I said, the first two episodes have aired. It's airing weekly. It's airing, I think, every Thursday. So I just watched episode two like last night. So I guess three episodes will be out by the time this airs. And it's got, I wrote that down. Hold on one second. I'm so sorry. Ashley Zuckerman is the actor that's playing Robert Langdon. Obviously, they didn't get, they didn't get Tom Hanks for the TV show. But Ashley Zuckerman, you might recognize him if you watched the Fear Street movies recently on Netflix. He was like one of the main characters in all three of those. I think in the modern day when he was like the sheriff, Eddie Izzard plays a character in it, which is kind of fun. Valerie Curry, who I know from The Following, but she's been in a bunch of television shows and stuff. And so it feels very much like a network show. So I'm not surprised this was originally supposed to be on a network. But unlike a traditional like weekly procedural, this is one storyline. Like this is one mystery that they're trying to solve over these like 10 episodes or whatever it's going to be. So that aspect to it might appeal to some people more than just, it's not just like Law and Order or something like that. There's a little more to it. I am a fan of like the Indiana Jones kind of, finding like cryptic clues and puzzles and all that kind of fun stuff. Like I enjoy that. I think that's why I enjoy the books. As far as the adaptation, it definitely, I mean, I don't really love any of those movies, although I do think Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons are a little better than people give them credit for. But I prefer the books. This was interesting, though, because like I said, it's adapting a book I didn't really care that much for. So I'm not as like, I guess, invested. So that's kind of interesting. Like I'm just watching them like try to get the best parts out of it and work it. And like I said, it's only been two episodes. I would say overall, it's okay. I don't know why I wouldn't quit watching it just because I'm already started and I want to see how they're going to do it. I don't know that it's like, it's not a high recommend by any means. It would probably, I'm still like on the recommend side, but it's definitely light recommend. If you're a fan of the books, there's no reason not to watch it. I don't know if you'll really get into it if you're not, or if you don't really care about this kind of adventure, mystery kind of thing. If that's not your thing, I don't think this will change your mind. But the cast is nice and, it's perfectly fine, but it definitely feels more like a network show than, but I do like I said, I do like that it's a continuing story. It's not just, weekly thing. So a weekly mystery or whatever. It could become that, I guess, if it's popular enough. I don't know what that means by the fact that they decided to put it on Peacock. That might actually help it, though. I have no idea because it's still hard to figure out what a lot of these streaming services or how well they're actually doing.
Yeah.
But that's the newer thing I've been watching recently. So yeah, that's called The Lost Symbol and it's on Peacock every Thursday for, I guess, probably the next 8 or 9 weeks.
Nice. The Lost Symbol is on Peacock. Survivor 41 is on CBS and then Paramount Plus the next day. And Freddy the Fish, you can find on Steam along with other possible nostalgic titles that you may remember from your past. That's going to wrap it up for Behind the Sins this week. Don't forget to make sure you're subscribed and go ahead and leave a comment or rating as well. If you've got anything you want to send us, you can mail that to us, P.O. Box 881, Republic, Missouri, 65738. You can also hang out with us on Twitter. I'm at Aaron Dicer. She is at Danae Says.
And on Twitch, DeneeSays.
And he is at SamLoomis13. So for Jonathan Watkins, Danae Hughes, a Nashville rideshare driver, and myself, we will see you next week.
Happy International Podcast Day.
Hey, that's us. podcast. We podcast.
We do it.
And when Ian's on, we're international.
Yay.
Yay.
Thanks for listening. Send any feedback to bts@cinemasins.com. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment. Find more ways to connect by visiting cinemasins.com/BTS.
I'm going to go see Dear Evan Hansen today.
Yeah, I don't have to do that one. There's just nothing about that that interests me.
Yeah, it's weird because I know nothing about, well, I know a little bit about it just through absorbing, but the only, like, my connection to it, the very first connection I have to it is my boys used to listen to the soundtrack all the time.
Oh, so it's been around for that long. So was he playing the role when he was younger?
Yes, he was playing the role on Broadway when he was younger.
I knew it was a play, but I didn't know anything about it. And that aspect of it, I don't care about. Like, I just, the film itself just doesn't really interest me.
Yeah. So they would play the soundtrack, and there's like this one song, and I was like, that's a really fun song. That's a cool song. I like how that sounds. But I had no idea it was from Dear Evan Hansen until later. And I like the writers of the music. They're the same ones that did La La Land. And
is the movie a musical?
Yes.
Okay.
They did La La Land and Greatest Showman, which I love the music in both of those.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm excited for the music, but I don't know that I'm excited for the subject matter.
It also deals with suicide, right, in that part of it, so I know that, so that kind of, I mean, you're really gonna have to sell me on that if I'm gonna sit through it.
Yeah,
so I've never watched 13 Conversations About One Thing either.
Yeah, that's,
in fact, my wife told me flat out, like, do not watch this she's like
yeah that's what I'm talking about. I'm not necessarily you know, pumped to sit through it, but I mean, if it's meaningful,
yeah,
it's like,
yay.
Yeah, exactly. If it's meaningful and it's powerful, but, you know, so be it. That's great. But yeah, but we'll see. I'll see it today. I watched the, what did I watch yesterday? Oh, Eyes of Tammy Faye. I watched that yesterday.
Oh, you went and saw that in the theater?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Was it any good?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
I've heard both sides.
Yeah. Huge, huge caveat. I am a sucker for biopics. Like, if somebody is doing like a transformative, I'm going to become another person, Dana Carvey, Master of Disguise performance, I'm going to be sucked in. And Jessica Chastain is mind-blowing.
I've seen the trailer.
Mind-blowing in this movie. Mind-blowing. So
I'm not a huge, huge biopic picture, but this looked like more of one I would be interested in. Yeah. I know the subject matter is more fascinating to me than just, it's not simply just like, I'm going to watch Ray Charles become Ray Charles.
Right.
Like,
I don't know.
This seems more like there's more drama, and, you know, it's not just simply like, took some drugs, wrote some interesting music, and here we are. You
know? Every music biopic ever. What's up, Danae?
Hey.
Hey, there it is. It's working. Sounds great. Everything's good.
Do I sound weird? I sound normal, don't I? I sound normal, right?
Dog is in the background. Hey, doggy dogs.
I like how he just pops up. He's like, what's up?
What's up? I'm here in the back. Just ready for the show. I'm a dog.
Holy shit.
Yeah, what's up, Wild RP goddess?
I mean, oh my God, it was amazing. I just want to invite everybody to follow me, please, because I totally shit.
I'll translate for you.
Aaron, explain it while I eat my food.
Yeah, Danae said she was raided while she was playing last night, and that a bunch of people
XXX
came in and watched. Raided with a D, which means
like a Gareth Evans film. She was raided.
Yes, exactly, like a Gareth Evans film, except in this case, it involves somebody with a lot of Twitch followers saying, hey, go watch this, and then 800 people show up to her stream.
Thank God you were streaming.
Why do I have three versions of that?
I don't know why you have three versions of that. Are you the alien from Total Recall?
So are you not doing Dungeons & Dragons on Thursdays anymore?
Mm-mm.
Or is that just on hiatus or something?
That was a good joke, by the way. That was a really good joke.
I didn't hear it. Sorry. Yeah. I was thinking about my question.
You know what else sometimes happens? I'm so hungry that even though I know the pizza's going to burn the roof of my mouth, I eat it. And that happened yesterday. I was like, I know I'm going to burn the roof of my mouth, but I want this in my mouth. And Mm-mm. I don't know how to counteract that, but now I have like
you
a...
You just don't do it.
Love, love, love.
Love, love, love. Mm-hmm. Yes, that was... Thanks, guys.
Wow.
This is why you tuned in. This is why you tuned in for that kind of amazingness.
My audition program just shut down on its own. It was like, fuck you. No, I'm not.
Guys, I am not doing this.
It really did. No, I am still recording. I don't want to freak you out. Anyway. I just thought about
Do
that.
Do I need to wait? Amanda's with us. My first BTS live.
Welcome.
What's up, Amanda?
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Sorry that you won't want to come back, but I appreciate that you're here.
Wow, Jonathan. I mean, everybody was just saying how much they enjoy the De-stressor, and Jonathan's like, people hate us. They're never going to come back.
People will never come back to see
Jonathan is the Eeyore of the BTS crew.
That makes me the... which Winnie the Pooh character would I be? Oh, we know Aaron's Pooh.
Am I Pooh?
Aaron's not Pooh. Tigger?
No.
I'm probably Tigger, right?
Yes, absolutely. Danae is Tigger.
Okay.
100% you're the Tigger of BTS.
Bouncing.
Oh, you're probably Owl, right? Like,
yeah,
you're
it's
Owl.
Probably Owl. Yeah.
Because you
I
like...
think he's Kanga.
Oh, interesting.
I definitely do have like typically what are thought of as like mothering characteristics. Like I definitely have some of that stuff, and that's kind of Kanga's role in that story. But I think Owl is probably right. I think it's probably Owl.
You two know way more about Winnie the Pooh metaphors than I do. So there was that Ewan McGregor movie, although that was kind of more of an adult movie.
Yeah,
but
that
did come.
It was a little more adult. Yeah.
And then there was that movie called Poo Porn, and that might have been something.
That's different. That was very different.
No, that was not.
I don't know. Aaron told me about it.
That was
so
not
I,
in the Hundred Acre Wood. That was not. If I'm remembering it correctly, that was not set in the Hundred Acre Wood.
Somebody had Hundred Acre Wood, but
yes,
exactly.
Oh my god, that was so good.
No, it wasn't.
No, it was. That's hilarious.
It was very good.
No, that
was dumb. Everything I say is dumb.